He cares for the whole world.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We joyously extend a warm welcome to any and all visitors that are here, and thank you for worshiping with us this morning. And if you are a visitor this morning and would like any more information about Cook's Church, then please see one of the ushers before you leave. The flowers are to celebrate the heavenly birthday of an amazing mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother whose love still echoes in every generation. Your gentle strength, warm hugs, and the music you loved so dearly still play in our hearts. We miss you, Grandma Bebe, but we know that you are always with us. Love the Thompsons and the Gores. Okay, there is a new Bible study beginning tonight on Elisha seeing the hand of God work. That's at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. This Saturday, May 3rd, there's a community prayer vigil. On May 4th is the Presbyterian Women's Birthday Lunch at 2 p.m. over in the Fellowship Hall. On May 4th, we are beginning a grief share group at 4 p.m. in room 113. And we are asking, I believe this would be the youth, is asking for families to start gathering board games for the youth because they are doing a mission in May. And there will be more information to come on that. You can place your offerings in the offering plates at the communion table or in the narthex before or after worship. There's also a QR code on the bulletin and on the yellow card in the pew racks. And thank you for supporting our missions here at Cook's Church.
Ginger, Susie Hager had an announcement. Susie?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The ladies' luncheon is next week. It's come up on us pretty quickly. It's next Sunday at 2 o'clock. Our theme is past and present. So we're asking all the ladies to send us a picture of them, 10 years and younger, and a present picture, so we can match them up. We've got great tables coming with table settings from different people who are making them up and everything. And please, everybody come, all the ladies. We're looking forward to it.
Is it ladies only?
It's ladies only.
Ladies only, men. But we're all one in Christ, right? All right. Well, let's celebrate this moment of us. Yeah.
That was literally about to let you just get me on. Hi, I'm here to talk about the moment for mission for this week, or for this month, and it's going to be Blanket Sunday. They collect the blankets for the homeless, anybody under disaster relief, hurricane, tornado, anybody that's been displaced. I do have pamphlets and cards you can purchase in the back by the mints, and we will be doing our collection on Mother's Day.
Now, with the joyous reverence and delight of the people of faith, let us pass the peace as we prepare to begin worship. Seats and prepare for worship. Good morning, good morning. Welcome. Welcome to worship this morning. We are still in Easter, so he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let me hear it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Absolutely. Praise hallelujah. He is risen. We love to share this story. We're going to do an old-time song today that everybody knows. We're going to swing it a little bit, but I think you'll enjoy it. Victory in Jesus. Every day we celebrate that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I heard an old story, how Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious love atoning. And repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Cleansing by redeeming.
walk again and cause the blind to see.
Make sure you're awake out there. We're better on this song, I tell you. Oh, I tell you, it doesn't. Some of these old hymns, we're going to do a lot more of those because they just powerful words. Amen. I tell you, it's just really good to see just the Spirit moving in the words, and when you know the lyrics behind the songs, it really brings meaning to them. This next one's My Redeemer Lives. We did it last week. We're going to do this next week too because we're still in the Easter season. So. Let's enjoy. Here we go. I know He rescued my soul. His blood is covered my sin. Thank you. Amen, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us come to worship the Lord, who is our strength and our song. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
We lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving.
Let us enter his presence with gladness and sing for joy.
We come to worship the Lord, our God and King.
Let us continue in prayer. Risen and reigning Lord Jesus, we gather in your name, drawn by the power of your love and the hope of your resurrection. You are the light in our darkness, the rock beneath our feet, the shepherd who leads us through every single valley, including the valley of the shadow of the darkness of death. We come with hearts open and voices ready to sing, for you alone are worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Fill this space with your presence, stir our souls with your spirit, and awaken us to the wonder of your grace. May this time of worship glorify you and renew us to live as your faithful people. In the holy and powerful and everlasting name of Jesus, we make these prayers. Amen. We say that we have no sin, but we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's what the Bible tells us. But the Bible goes on to share with us that if we are faithful and confess our sins, that God, who is redeeming and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. It's for this reason we step forward boldly, announcing our shortcomings to the world corporately and then silently in our own hearts. We do so because we seek to rectify ourselves in and through the Word of God, aligning ourselves with His will and associating ourselves with His power. So I invite you to pray these words with me, found in your morning's bulletin. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient people. We have not done your will. We have broken your law, and we have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, on this wonderful Sunday morning, this Resurrection Sunday morning, of all mornings, we celebrate the risen Christ who came out of the tomb, who reveals to us that our death is not our final goodbye. It is, in fact, the entryway into an everlasting life. Friends, I believe you, by the waters of your baptism, you have been forgiven forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now let us rise and sing what we believe.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ.
Seated, and at this time I'd like to invite the kids from fifth grade and younger to come forward for
Well, good morning. How are you? Woo. Did you have a good Easter?
Yeah.
What did you do? What'd you do for Easter?
Find eggs.
Find eggs. What else did you do for Easter?
Eat them.
You eat them. Okay, you found eggs and you eat them. Good. Did any of you have any little bitty marshmallow chicks? I used to love the marshmallow chicks. Oh, peeps. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the retro. Good. It's always good to use retro. Yes. Well, how many of you believe that I can fly? What? None of... Oh, thank you. Ginger believes that I can fly. Thank you, Ginger. You don't believe that I can fly? Well, do you believe that I can turn green? Yes. We got another one. Okay. Do you believe that I can jump 30 feet in the air? No. God. Well, you know what? You're right. I can't do any of these things. You know what that word is called? Doubt. When you're going, wait a minute, I don't know if you can do that. That's called doubt. Okay. Have you heard that word? Okay. That's what that today's word is, doubt. We're talking about doubt. And sometimes we're like, wait a minute, you say you can do something. And so what do you say? You say, prove it. If you can fly, show me you can fly. Well, of course I can't fly. Okay? So when it comes to doubt in our lives, sometimes we're like, you question things, right? If you're not sure of the answer, you question things. Do your teachers in school tell you that? When you don't know the answer, what do? You raise your hand and ask the question, right? Because you don't know. But doubting means I don't think you can do that. I'm not sure if you can do that. And sometimes it's a good thing to doubt. Okay? So don't look at it as always bad, but sometimes it's a good thing. But now, have there been times in your life where you have doubted something? Anything? What?
My friend
Your friend said that he went inside a wave and he survived? Inside a way. Ah, okay. See, that would be something that I would go, that might be something to doubt. Anything else? Yes. That's what your friend said. I don't know what else she said, but I know the friend said it. So that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. Anything else? Anybody else done or anything? So when you go through life, sometimes you're going to question. You're going to go, wait a minute, I'm not sure of that, and that's okay. And if you don't know, guess what? You ask your parents, you ask your grandparents, you ask your teacher, you ask other people's friends and say, wait a minute, I heard this. Is this true? Because that's the way you learn. And hopefully the people around you will say, yes, that's true, or no, that's not true. So you're going to learn to live with doubt, but that's okay. Always ask questions. If you don't know the answer, there's no dumb question, because that's the way you learn, right?
She has another answer.
She has another answer. What's the other answer?
I had a picture.
You have a picture.
I had a picture. Then I had another picture.
Good. Well, I'm sorry you lost it, but I hope you get it back. All right, let's pray. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your word.
Lord, sometimes we doubt. And when that happens, help us to find the answer. Thank you for family and for friends and for people who give us the answers. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus, the world's answer. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
this song is for every believer who has ever lived.
Ghosts that live in my path, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. And then you look at this prisoner and say, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains on myself. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain.
It's good to have Don back today on Sunday, because with Don's powerful voice and the choir behind me, I can actually imagine that I'm singing pretty well. That's nice. And when I was coming up through college, two bands that you may know, the Dave Matthews Band and Hootie and the Blowfish, were often known for playing fraternity houses in and around the Southeast before they got their big breaks. And I never got to see either one of them, although I was around those campuses at the time. But I think about the people that are going to see Bryson on stage, and I'm going to get to say, I knew him when he was playing the Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. We thank God for his gifts, and we've been blessed with enormous gifts and musical talents here at this church among our young folks, and so he's but one of many that are standouts in their field, so we're grateful for him to play today. We begin now a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Let us join together in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lead us by your precious and holy word. Shine the light irrepressibly on our hearts and our souls, diminishing our doubts and allowing us to exclaim you like Thomas as my Lord and my God. Awaken in us this day the powerful yearn that we have to know you completely. Enable the word to unlock our minds in such a way as to know your will and to be able to do it resolutely. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today is Psalm 124, which is on the screen behind me, hopefully, and on page 613 in the Pew Bible. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive with their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Word of God for the people of God.
That psalm powerfully touches on the fact that the snare of death, the fowler's snare, has been broken. And what we celebrated last Sunday and what we continue to celebrate every Sunday that we worship the Lord Jesus Christ is that Jesus broke the bondage of death forever. That's the good news of Easter. The good news of Easter is further compounded when we look at what Jesus Christ was after the resurrection. Because after the resurrection, we get a sense of what we'll become after our resurrection into bodily form. That's what we believe will happen to us. And if you notice, what did Jesus do when he first appeared? Well, we get it in John 21. He cooked a fish dinner for everyone. So I figure, you know, I'm from the South. Fish fries are pretty common, right? Jesus knows what he's doing, right? He knows how to get us. Our New Testament reading is a familiar passage. It comes to us from the chapter in which Jesus' resurrection occurs, the 20th chapter. It's a pivotal chapter, and we're going to get to the kind of the epilogue next week. But this week, we're kind of in the dramatic conclusion. And it seems strange that the Gospel of John's narrative arc would end here. But it's a perfect closure if you think about what John says at the very beginning, that the Lord was God and the Word was with God. And so what we have here at the end is a summation statement, my Lord and my God, coming from Didymus, the twin, otherwise known as Thomas, the doubter. So I invite you now to hear this word from the 20th chapter. I read verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have not yet and have yet believed." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I think some of you all are familiar with my story. I was a first-class doubter, right? I, in my youth, had taken atheism to a point of rabid orthodoxy and was convinced that there was no God and that the people that said that there was were just sorely mistaken or delusional. And I held on to that for a good number of years. I had stories about why I didn't like the church, and my parents really only took me to Sunday school like twice. But on one of the occasions, we had to, I'll never forget it, we had to draw a picture of Jesus. And I don't know, that day I wasn't particularly feeling like drawing Jesus. So I just was kind of scribbling on the paper. And the woman told me very clearly I needed to draw within the lines, right? And so I used that as the grand metaphor for why I didn't like church. Well, because the church people want me to draw inside the lines, and I'm a draw outside the lines kind of guy. It made sense at the time. I seem now, as I say it, seems pretty comical. But that's what I held on to. But really where my doubt came from, I really thought about it this week, you know, focusing on the passage of Thomas and doubt. My real doubt came because of the Christians, some of the Christians that I knew, not all of them, I undoubtedly knew a lot more. But the crowd that I was concerned with was in a program called Young Life, which is a really remarkable program. I don't know how at the time it was not succeeding. But the kids that teased me, all of the kids that were kind of tormentors at times, were all in Young Life. And it kind of made it very easy for me to associate a difference with them from myself, even though the difference was not with Jesus, but was rather with the people who were claiming Jesus, which is always something to be watched for when we put our faith in the people to represent Jesus for us. The people will always fail us because people are not all Jesus. And so we can set ourselves up with a pretty good solution for failure if we simply do that. And is there a better story than Thomas, the doubting twin, right? Augustine thought it was interesting that he was a twin and even went it so far as to say that it was faith and his opposite, doubt, were represented by Didymus, the Thomas, the twin, in the story. And while his take was an allegorical one, we certainly see in Thomas's story a vision of ourselves. Because really, when it gets down to it, our doubt, it isn't rebellion from God. Not really. Rebellion from God is another thing altogether. But doubt is simply having not enough faith to fully believe. And that, friends, is something that Jesus Christ himself showed us can be cured, and cured pretty resolutely in this story. So what do we get? Well, we get a man who doesn't get to witness the resurrection firsthand, but he's hearing the gathered reports of his friends. Now, these are people he's served with and followed Jesus with who are telling him that Jesus is alive. But Thomas doesn't believe them and goes even one step further by saying, "Unless I see the wounds basically on his body, I won't believe." And he's caught in that position of doubt. He wants to believe. We're sure he's hearing the reports about Jesus' life and what he's doing, but he's not accessing it directly himself. Now, that may not reach a whole lot of us, but I certainly tell you what does is that sometimes we pray for things that don't happen. And sometimes we trust some people that we shouldn't. And sometimes, illnesses don't go the way that we hoped that they would. We've all been left in a position of doubt sometimes, that feeling of wanting to believe but not quite being there. The Greek in this passage when Jesus tells Thomas to start believing, it is a literal translation of don't be unbelieving, but believe. It's a very different way of thinking about it. It's not so much the emphasis on the doubt, but it's on the believing, the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come into the story about Thomas, and we're reminded that not everybody gets it right with the disciples. If we'll remember from our reading last week, Peter and John raced to the empty tomb, but still didn't fully get it. Mary Magdalene thought she had met the gardener. The other disciples locked themselves away in fear. So it isn't the case that Thomas was any different than the others. He just expressed his doubts a little bit more resolutely using very specific language. Language that I think would come back to edify him when Jesus repeated them back to him. Doubt at its core isn't necessarily rebellion against God. It is often the painful experience of wanting to believe but being afraid to be wrong. Thomas loved Jesus. Thomas had seen him crucified with his own eyes. And yet when our hopes are dashed once, it's hard to see them dashed a second time. So we retreat into a place of fear and doubt. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you've prayed for some healing and it didn't come. Maybe you trusted someone and they betrayed you. Maybe you stepped out in faith and life fell apart. Now, like Thomas, you want to believe, but part of you says, not again. I can't bear to be disappointed again. The amazing grace of this passage comes in a lot of different ways. First, it comes in the fact that Jesus announces his presence with peace. Peace be with you, he says to the gathered disciples. He's made it through the locked doors. He's come into their space, disrupting them, really, in their quiet repose. And he has come to them with a message of peace. This reminds us that God is now at peace with us. This is an important declaration, and we shouldn't overlook. Peace be with you means that the enmity between God and man has been forever healed. That Jesus Christ has suffered and died for us and for our salvation so that we might live to righteousness and die to sin. That's the language of the scriptures. And so we are aware that as Jesus comes in, he declares this peace that really surrounds our entire life. You know, it's funny how sometimes you preach and then you only kind of get what you preached afterwards. On Monday, Thursday, I remember reading about the scene where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. But before he gets up and ties that cloth around him and gets down on his knees, it says something so very profound. It said, because Jesus knew that the Father was with him, and because he knew he was going back to God, he was able to do these things. It's when we realize what Jesus has done for us that we're able to take on amazing things. The response to Jesus' death and resurrection should inspire us to new heights of faith, but sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it's because of that doubt. But the great news is that Jesus doesn't condemn Thomas in his doubt. He could. He could say, how dare you not believe your friends? He could say, because you didn't believe, I don't want any further part of you. So doubt is not excoriated by God. Doubt is understood as being the consequence of us living in a broken world. Remember, the Bible tells us our citizenship isn't from here. It's actually in the kingdom of God. And so that means necessarily that parts of this world broken by sin won't ever entirely square with us. Losing a loved one can be a remarkable change in an experience that can really leave people doubting God, and might. You can find a whole people sometimes in a room full with a lot of information about Jesus, but very few people have a relationship with him. Because sometimes we take faith just to be the consent to doctrine, and it isn't that. We see that in our passage today. Jesus doesn't try to prove himself any more than he does anything else. He rather takes up Thomas's words word for word, which is another good piece of news for us. Thomas has uttered these words apart from Jesus' presence, and yet Jesus has heard them explicitly and clearly and comes back after a week and reveals himself to Thomas after a week. I can only imagine what that week must have been like as all of Thomas's friends came with him with the good news of Jesus being alive. But Thomas, steadfast in his doubt, has said that unless he sees the actual wounds, he won't believe. And when Jesus comes in, what does he show him but his actual wounds? He shows him the side and his hands and proves to him that the answer to his faith is not more knowledge, but it is in fact faith in God. I just can't imagine a whole week where Thomas sat with his questions. Until I can remember whole weeks where I've questioned why people that I thought were really necessary had to pass away. You get to that point where you do have doubt, and it's okay. Frederick Buechner once said that doubt is the ants of the pants in faith that keeps it alive and active. Sometimes doubts can be very good things. Thomas expressed his doubt very clearly to the Lord, and Jesus heard, which means that Jesus hears of our struggles when we're praying in our silence. And I know a number of you are praying for a number of different reasons, and we're praying with y'all as we pray together. But we know what the burdens are that you're going through. And so I can understand how maybe even doubt would creep in. But I want you to know that the answer is as easy as it is for you as it was for Thomas. The answer is to just embrace Christ. Jesus leads him to us directly, and then he knows the cause and woes of our hearts, and he has decided to take action. He has decided to relieve and remove those doubts and fears from you through his relationship with you. Trust that as you put your hands into the Word, as you get your mind around the Scriptures, you will see and feel the truth of this. It may be the case that you're one of these people that's been in the room with Jesus Christ all of your life, but have never really made that decision to follow him. Why? Because you doubt. Well, hear this call that Jesus is Lord and God, just as example, just as Thomas declares him to be. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He died, and yet, behold, because he lives, we shall live forevermore. That's the language of the Word. In Jesus Christ, we find not only healing for our soul, but salvation for our eternal selves. In Jesus Christ, we find the truth of the matter, which is that in the fullness of time, God laid down his Son's life for us and for our salvation. He was in the tomb for 3 days, but rose to new life. Never miss that. That new life is waiting for you on the other side of your declaration. Can you imagine what Thomas's life was like after his declaration, "My Lord and my God"? He went from being just an average first century schnook to being forever imagined in the minds of doubters like ourselves, forever. And because he got it right, this declaration that Jesus is both God and man brings us to the fitting conclusion of the Gospel of John, which began with that God is the Word, and the Word was with God. So we now come to the conclusion of the story arc, so to will. There's a little more afterwards, and we'll read some more about that next week as we consider Peter's call to remember the sheep and the lambs. Friends, if you doubt, don't let those doubts go unanswered. Talk to somebody you know that has faith. There's a number of our elders would be happy to talk with you. I'd be happy to talk with you. But the answer is, as it always shall be, in surrender to God and admission of him into your hearts and lives so that you might be changed from the person you were to the person that God has always intended you to be. You know, there's somebody lurking in you that you may not ever have met, and it's the disciple of Jesus Christ that needs that authority to come in and say, be obedient and to follow me, to pick up your cross. We were reminded in Sunday school that this is a costly discipleship that many of us experience, in fact, that all of us experience. And we trust it because of what Jesus went through, that Jesus shows us that love, even despite suffering, can win. Don't lose that. Jesus really suffered, and love really won. So that can be the thought that propels us into this week, that love wins in and through Jesus Christ, through his humble admission of accepting a sinner's death on the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to God and to the world the things that are weighing upon our heart. Join me as we pray. Wonderful God and Father, Son, Holy, and Spirit, we come before you now having heard your word read and proclaimed and confident in your grace and love. We trust that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond them as well. In humility and faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication for you, to you. We pray this week for all of those on Cook's prayer list, especially including Jack McClure, Marcia Sifford, Patty Brown, Nancy Smith. We continue our prayers for the flood victims in North Carolina and the fire victims in California. We make all these prayers to you, knowing and trusting in your love and in your mercy. We make them all, concluding with the prayer Jesus taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. Go now out into the world assured that Jesus is risen, that your life in him will never end, and you'll find that faith and confidence to boldly leap forward to say, my Lord and my God, and to follow Jesus with all of your life's marrow. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen. My Redeemer.
Thank you. We do have rehearsal.